Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, welcome into the Sports Hub Golf Club. Last one of the season. Here we go. This is it. U.S. Open taking place this... Oh, I got to tell you everything that's going on the show today. Okay, first of all, we have Luke Burgandy from Prop Swap. He is going to be joining us 8:30, talk about the interesting props that can be had this weekend. And again, you can buy all kinds of, you know, futures bets and stuff on Prop Swap, but I find this site to be the most interesting in the middle of events, whether that, like in the middle of a best of seven series, or in this case, the middle of a golf major. This is fantastic. So Luke Burgandy will join us at 8:30 this morning. And also this morning, I got an email from a guy, and this sounded really interesting to me, right? I got an email from a gentleman named, is he Willie? Let's see, Billy? He emailed me and a bunch of other people here at the radio station. Oh, Will Robinson said, Billy the Lupa from Saugus spent the last 13 years working full-time as a caddy at Winged Foot. He says, I want to be on one of your shows this week. Golf course knowledge, the redesign, what to expect this week, stories about people. Great. Okay. I emailed him back. I'm like, you want to be on Saturday morning? He said, yeah. How long? I said, all right. Like 10 minutes on the phone. Tucker, our producer, he'll call you around 8:15. What's a good number? That's the last I heard from Billy the Lupa. So I don't know. Maybe he's going to call us. He never emailed me back with his phone number, so I don't know. But maybe we'll get some inside knowledge of Winged Foot, because I would love to talk about this golf course this morning. Let us first see what's going on with the leaderboard. Patrick Reed is currently alone on top at 4 under par. Opening round of 66, he followed it up with a 70 in round two yesterday. Much tougher conditions out there. Very few players were able to match or go lower than what they had put up on Thursday. One of the people who did, in fact, manage to do that was Bryson DeChambeau, who is 3 under par. He went out, shot a 69 on Thursday, followed it up with a 68 yesterday, and man, was it tenuous, I think is the word I'm looking for. I mean, the color coding on his scorecard, if you, certain scorecards will use color coding for pars, which has no color, and then, you know, bogeys are in red, birdies are in green, eagles are yellow, double bogeys are more, I mean, it goes like nothing red, green, nothing red, green, nothing yellow, red, green, red, nothing red. I mean, he's all over the place, but it amounted to a 2 under par 68. Yes, Winged Foot is a par 70, kind of laughably. I mean, they could make this a, it doesn't matter. A par doesn't matter. It is simply a something we use to easily gauge who is doing what. It's how many strokes does it take you to get around this golf course? So for Bryson DeChambeau, he managed to go out and shoot one stroke lower on Friday than he was on Thursday, which was amazing. But he did it with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bogeys yesterday. But he also had 5 birdies and an eagle. He eagled the par 5 ninth And as he finished up on 17 and 18, made a pair of pars for his 68. So Bryson DeChambeau, one stroke off the lead right now. And I you know, the general notion, at least my general feeling, is anyone within five strokes of the lead of a major championship has a shot going into the weekend. I feel like you can expand this out a tiny little bit because of the conditions, not because of Patrick Reed or Bryson DeChambeau. I kind of consider them to be co-leaders. They're going to be in the final pairing today. And, you know, one stroke difference on this golf course is not a lot. You know, these guys can make a lot of bogeys, as we saw in Bryson's round yesterday, five of them. And doubles are waiting out there, too. So I kind of look at those guys as co-leaders. Since the bogeys are so prevalent and doubles are out there lurking too, it's okay to look at guys who are like six, maybe even seven strokes off the lead as having a shot this weekend. So we'll go down, and believe me, they are not bunched up. We don't have, you know, eight players at two under and one under par, which would normally be the case at a major. You would have, the pack, essentially, just, you know, waiting there a couple few strokes off the lead. There's three players at two under. That's it. Rafael Cabrera Bello, Harris English, and Justin Thomas, who looked fantastic in his opening round. Shot a 65 on Thursday, followed it up yesterday with a 73. And Justin Thomas, you can chalk that up all to fairways and greens. He wasn't hitting the fairways on Thursday, or on Friday, as I should say, like he was on Thursday. And because the rough is so penalizing at Winged Foot, he wasn't able to get on the greens in regulation. So his fairway and green statistic on Friday was abysmal compared to Thursday. That's the difference between his 65 and 73, essentially the same number of putts. So he wasn't saving strokes when he was scrambling to try and make pars, because the greens are just too tough in addition to the rough. Rough day for Justin Thomas, but he did very well to stay within two strokes of the lead, and that's where he sits at two under par. There's some other interesting names, I would say, when you get down to even par, four strokes off the lead. Among them, Xander Schauffele and Matthew Wolff. A lot of us didn't get a chance to see much of Matthew Wolff until earlier this spring when he played in the TaylorMade charity relief effort. He was out there with Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler. He's got that, you know, that little hip twitch in his swing. He's very upright. He absolutely punishes the ball. But again, he got squirrely yesterday and went from a 66 in his opening round to a 74, an eight-stroke swing from Thursday to Friday. And it speaks to the conditions out there and how nasty this golf course is if you start getting a little errant, especially with your tee shots. The approach shots also. I mean, you see these guys in the rough, green side. Normally, they're automatic up and down. And even from bunkers, you know, a good percentage from the bunkers is something between, I would say, in terms of bunker saves, anything, over 50%. When you get to 66% on your bunker saves, you're playing very well. These guys are not approaching that. The greens are just too tough. Not this week. Not at Winged Foot. The guy that I like, Hideki Matsuyama, and we're going to be talking more about him when Luke Pergandy joins us here at 8:30. I think he's an interesting bet this weekend. I'm having trouble getting him at a at a good number, I think, on Prop Swap. So we're going to ask Luke about that. And then when you get to the players five strokes off the lead, Bubba Watson, Louis Oosthuizen, John Rahm is probably the most interesting down there. But look at these guys who are six strokes off. Billy Horschel, Webb Simpson, Lucas Glover, any of these guys, I think you'd be foolish to think they're absolutely out of contention. Ditto for Dustin Johnson, who's three over par. Oh, what's the leader at? Four under? Nah, he's not going to do anything. At Winged Foot, Dustin Johnson, 3 over. You watch him this weekend. He hasn't gone away just yet. All right, so Billy the Lupa is going to join us. I just received confirmation. Yeah, okay, so let's do this. We'll step aside real quickly, come back, take a quick break. We'll talk with somebody who's a jock. He's a pro jock. He's a caddy at Wingfoot. Billy the Lupa coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Tucker, I'm not connected yet. If you want to go ahead and pull up Billy the Lupa here from Saugus, I gotta find out this guy's story here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Billy, are you there?
Good morning.
Okay, so Billy, yeah, I think I laid this all out properly. You emailed the radio station. You said that you were a caddy at Winged Foot, and you offered to be on one of the shows this week, but I don't know where you are. I don't know where you live. I don't know if you're in town. I don't know if you're out of town. So, yeah, Billy, yeah, what's your story? Because I'm already fascinated.
Yeah, born and raised over here in Saugus, Sachemville. Spent the last 13 years working down at Wingfoot. Great golf course, great club. Worked on getting my PGA card. And it's one of those special places that once you're there and you do a good job and you do well for the membership, that they always allow you back. And, caddied this year down in their member, and look forward to going back to finish up the season after the Open. Unfortunately, with COVID, not too many rounds, and with the shutdown for the U.S. Open, only one golf course was available. So not too many caddies got full-time work, but I look forward to heading back for the remainder of the season.
All right, so you're back in Saugus now. Are you looping anywhere around here? Or
I go up to Myopia Hunt Club and Essex. Just did Myopia Hunt. It's funny because when Gil was doing the renovation down at Wingfoot, and then also he did some work up at Myopia with some tees, and then also at Essex. I ran into him a few times in the matter of 3 weeks, and he said, "What are you following me around, kid? What's going on here?"
All right, so you must know Steve St. Amand. You must know him, a North Shore guy, another guy who caddies occasionally up at one of those courses. I don't know if he does anymore, but he was, I think, caddy master for a while at one of those joints. Do you know Steve?
Unfortunately, no, not yet. I haven't met him, but I'm sure I'll run into him.
Okay, so Billy here has spent 13 years caddying at Winged Foot. Oh, man, I could seriously, I think I could talk to you for hours about Essex County Club and Myopia, which are, two of the big three on the North Shore. It's Salem, it's Essex, and it's Myopia. So, wow. But, we'll save that for another show. Winged Foot. Yeah, Winged Foot is... That first things first, the golf course has always been difficult going back to the 70s. But from what I see, it looks like at this major and as they do at many majors, especially the U.S. Opens, the fairways are narrowed. And it looks like, from the aerial shots, you can almost see where they have allowed the rough to kind of like come into the fairways a little bit. And they've narrowed up the fairways. Is that an accurate assessment of the golf course?
It's very accurate. They started narrowing those fairways about 4.5 years ago. And with when they started the step rough back in 2006, it was the first time the USGA had implemented the integrated rough where it was a step rough. And if you look this year, they actually took out a couple steps and have the intermediate rough a lot closer to the fairway. You are correct.
Okay. When you're looping there, and they have members just like any other private club, correct? It's just
Yes, they do.
Just a normal golf club.
It's a golf club, not a country club. There is a swimming pool, but there's no tennis courts, and it is a very high golf IQ. Golf is at the forefront of everything they do there.
What do the members go out there and shoot? Because I know that, the whatever the greens are rolling at this weekend, and they must be at something like a 14 or something on the stimp. I have no idea. Maybe even higher. Yeah, 15.
They're around 12.5 right now, but they're only going to get firmer and faster.
Right.
I see that golf course playing back to par for the winning score being around one under.
Oh, that's a good call. So when it's playing in the middle of the summer and you're looping out there, Billy, what does your average member go out there and shoot? How does the golf course play then compared to what it plays now? And what does someone go out there and shoot?
Depending on the time of year, depending on who you have, Wingfoot's renowned for having a majority of their golfers being single digit handicaps. And all the trouble is on and around the greens. So if you can drive the golf ball well, but you have trouble chipping and putting, you're going to shoot a pretty high score. But if you can get around and you can keep it, you know, somewhere in the fairway or somewhere down there in the rough, you can play well chipping and putting. But the member tournaments, and they have an Anderson tournament, which is the best amateurs in the world come and play there every year. They can shoot 1-2 under par. At all. And the superintendent usually picks his spots during the seasons to, you know, get the golf course rolling firm, fast. And the best part about that golf course is it plays fair. If you hit quality golf shots, you get rewarded. You see a lot of great things happen out there when they hit good golf shots.
All right, Billy, he's a caddy there at Winged Foot. He's a Saugus guy. You say it plays fair, but some of those greens, I'm sorry, that to me, they almost look unfair. There are guys who are hitting what I would consider to be quality shots, you know, into those greens and near those pins. And, you know, they're not complete turtlebacks, but they do tend to, you know, fall away from the hole in odd spots. Is that something
Correct.
That the members
Correct.
And as a caddy, you just learn and you figure out where to hit it next time?
I'm very surprised. I understand that a lot of these tour players have their full-time caddies, but I'm very surprised that they don't either employ or bring another caddy on board front that has local knowledge. If you look what Kuchar did down in Mexico when he brought the local caddy and he went out and won the golf tournament, the same applies because there's spots at Wingfoot, especially there on that first hole. If you don't hit to the proper tier of the tee, the proper tier of the green, you can end up on a separate tier. And a lot of those greens are either two or three tiered, but then they have other segments. If you split every green down the middle vertically, if you end up to the left or right of the center of the green, you could end up in a completely different bowl of the green. So you almost have to segment the greens and cut it into quarters and then anticipate where you want that ball to end up. And sometimes if you want to end up in the middle of the green, say on the 10th hole, for instance, if you want to end up middle of the green, you have to hit it to the back of the green. And you're going to see that back left pin placement on 10, which they'll be lucky to get out of there with threes and fours.
And a lot of the caddies, for the full-time caddies for these guys, they will buy the green books for different courses. Mm-hmm. But I imagine that you can only learn so much from a green book, which is essentially
Wingfoot does not have a green book.
Don't have one. Yeah, and for people who don't know, those are highly detailed maps of the greens. You see mm-hmm. these guys carrying mm-hmm. these huge, you know, books in their back pockets, and the caddies have them, the players have them, and they're, you know, pinpoint yardages all around the golf course, but especially on the greens. But you're saying Wingfoot doesn't have them, like the Masters at Augusta doesn't have a green book, as far as I know.
We have local caddies. And a lot of those green books, they'll tell you where you can find the apex and how it's going to play uphill, downhill, in sort of on a clock, how much of the grade to anticipate. The unique part about those greens is the pitch goes against the slope. So you'll see a lot of these players that are anticipating a big sweeping left to right putt. And then when it loses speed, it'll actually take a couple ticks back to the left. That's because there's a lot of pitch in those slopes, and Tillinghouse did a great thing when he designed that golf course to play as such. So you'll see a left to right putt that breaks left to right, excuse me, but then when it loses its speed, it'll then fall off in the other direction. So those subtleties in those greens, they really have to be read from, you know, you have to get down low and really read the subtleties because a lot of the time a right to left putt will have left to right pitch back into it and so on and so forth, you know, and it's a tough concept for higher handicaps to understand when a caddy says to you, this plays fast uphill.
You just gave me a bit of an aneurysm there, Billy.
It's one of those things where your putt starts losing speed, but it actually takes a vortex of another position on the green that'll then gain speed in another direction. It's diabolical. Yeah, it's diabolical.
I tell you, you know, there, you see some of these courses and you think, like, you know, who wouldn't want to play Augusta? Who wouldn't want to play Pebble Beach? I look at Wingfoot on TV and I say, I want nothing to do with that place. Nothing. Never. I don't care if I ever set foot on it, much less ever play it. Billy, I don't want to blow up your spot because you still caddy there, and I assume you'd be back next season, but you must have, like, stories about some of the people you've looked for, because this is, you know, this is a destination course, I would think, for, you know, celebrities to want to come play. And you mentioned in your email, maybe, you know, like Jim Nance or somebody out there playing.
Yeah, I can give you a quick one. My second day at Wingfoot back in 2007, I had the privilege of caddying for Bob Uecker.
Wow.
And on the 15th hole, he missed a putt for birdie. And, I, you know, of course, being the Northeast wit, I just a bit outside. And he looked at me and he scolded me a little bit. He said, you don't know what you just did to your tip. And he said, you know, that's going down on the broadcast tonight as a birdie. And he was really receptive. He was really happy. And just, he was a joke. It just as the way you saw him on television, he was in person.
I mean, it's been a few years. Could he play back then? I mean, can he play now?
He could. He's in shape for swimming, but he hit a wayward tee shot on 17 West. And the left side of 17 West is 12 East coming back in the opposite direction. And it just so happened that Jim Nance had hit his drive left on the 12th hole. So the only three people standing there out there in the rough on 17 West were myself, Bob Uecker, and Jim Nance. And they had never met each other before. And I couldn't believe how humble and how respectful Jim Nance was towards Bob Uecker, meeting him for the first time. And I'm looking over both my shoulders and I'm saying to myself, is anyone else hearing this or seeing this? This is absolutely amazing. You know, and Jim Nance couldn't have been more just gracious. And Mr. Uecker, pleasure to meet you. It's an honor. And I was just looking over both my shoulders like, this is amazing.
Nance wasn't a pain in the ass like when he sends his toast back because it isn't burned enough. He wasn't like that with any of the caddies.
Not at all. Back in 2011 when they had the Net Jets Open there and the top 30 in the world were there, he was sort of narrating. And the first time I had ever met him, other than standing there with Mr. Uecker, and I went up to him and I just had to, and I said, good morning, you know, big fan, and he could not have been more receptive. Stopped right in his tracks. You know, if I hadn't ended the conversation, he would have stood there and spoken with me, you know, for the remainder.
But, well, that's awesome. Hey, Billy, I like I said, I could talk to you for a long time about not only this course, but some of those courses you work at up on the North Shore. Let's set aside a time next spring. Like, we can devote a full hour as to how to play the fourth hole at Myopia. So we can maybe... We could do a month on that.
Hit it as far left as you can and then hope to hold the green.
All right. Well, don't spoil it. You know, we got to save some for next spring.
Fantastic, Heidi. Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
I appreciate it. All right, there he goes. Billy DeLupa from Saugus. He has 13 years as a caddy at Wingfoot, and he says maybe even par, maybe one over, wins the tournament this weekend. It's going to be fascinating to see how that holds up. And also to see who we're going to bet on this weekend as we get into moving day, Saturday, third round of the U.S. Open. For that, Luke Pergandy from PropSwap joins us next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Back here on the Sports Hub Golf Club, man, back-to-back guests. This is great. Billy DeLupa, caddy at Wingfoot, and now Luke Pergandy from PropSwap. This is where America goes to buy and sell their sportsbook tickets. The entire country, the U.S. of A. Tucker, if you could pull up Luke. Oh, there he is. What's up, Luke? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Artie. How are you?
I'm all fired up. It's a major championship weekend. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
This is yeah. Calm down. Okay.
You don't have to calm down, but yeah, there's so many sports going on this weekend. It's awesome.
Oh my God, I got in the worst like argument with Dan Lifshatz beforehand about like betting odds before tournaments. And as a guy who deals in like futures all the time, Dan and I were going back and forth. He says Tiger is a dumb bet, and I'm like, of course he's a dumb bet. I think it's a dumb bet for anybody to like take odds at, you know, say 10-1 for even a favorite going into a major championship, because it's a field of well over 100 players, and any one guy getting odds like that is kind of silly. which is why I like to wait until Saturday. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because there's a lot of props up on Prop Swap right now for like Masters tickets and stuff like that. What are your thoughts just in general on props on golfers before the tournament starts?
Yeah, so I was literally thinking about this yesterday. Like golf, what other sport are there still 20 different outcomes that are very possible? 20 different golfers could still win tomorrow, and only one can win. We're a day out, and there's still 20 different guys who could win this thing. So, right. You know, props off and props off aside, like 19 of these 20 are all going to lose. So you got a 5% chance of winning. So really, anyone that you buy on PropSwap or elsewhere, like you should have sold 19 of those 20 guys. There's only one guy that's getting paid.
Right.
So, you know, it's I completely agree with taking single-digit odds on a golfer. Like, that's not that interesting to me. You know, maybe on Sunday, okay, fine. You know, the guy's 5-1 on Sunday and he's in the lead, like, fine. But, you know, plunking down 3-1 odds on, you know, Patrick Reed yesterday, like, I just, and certainly when you don't have liquidity, if you can't fall out of that position when, you know, he has a nice Saturday or has a nice Sunday, like, you know, golf betting is just a different beast. So I completely agree that taking Tiger at, you know, 9-1 odds on a Thursday is probably silly.
Well, and this is why I love all the degenerates who are also part of Prop Swap, because they're out there betting like, you know, $5 on people I have literally never heard of before back in like May to win the U.S. Open. Because now you can go on there, and if they're, you know, I guess maybe this leaderboard is not a good indication of that, although I don't know if a lot of people know Jason Kokrak. But, yeah, I'm sure there's a prop in there for him and other guys, because now you can say, all right, I wouldn't even waste $5 on some of these guys back in May. But since somebody already did it for me, now I can take it, you know, a look at it and see what they're selling a ticket for. Now, to that end, Luke, what's the problem with the guy who has rejected two of my bids on the Hideki Matsuyama prop? Can you reach out to this guy, whoever this is? Do you know what the prop is on Hideki right now on Prop Swap?
Yeah, I'll shoot him a text. Hey, take Hardy's bid.
So I will look it up right now.
Yeah,
because
I see him at 16-1 on Prop Swap right now.
All right, so this guy has a ticket up there, and he's
value, honey. Just buy it.
for $100?
Yeah.
Yeah, I offered him 50 last night. I upped it to 61 later last night. Rejected. He wants nothing to do with my bid.
I'm looking at FanDuel New Jersey, and he's 16-1. I mean, that's exactly market value. So yeah, stop bidding. Just buy that thing.
16-1, $100 bid. Yes, it is a prop to win $1,680. You can buy it right now for $100. I don't know. I might buy it, but some of these other tickets that are up for grabs right now. This is the important thing, I think, Luke, and people don't realize this. It changes almost shot by shot today during the third round. If Patrick Reed goes out and, you know, bogeys the first two holes, the price on that ticket that somebody is looking for right now, that's going to drop, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if the seller is hopefully actively managing the price, you know, what I would say in that situation, if the ticket is outside of market value, then you should submit a bid. But, you know, and you know, we can't guarantee that sellers are going to respond immediately. So, I, you know, like this Hideki example we're talking about, like if you see something that's close to market value, just buy it.
Right.
Like what other place in New England are you going to be able to buy a golfer and then sell a golfer? Like we're the only game where you can buy and then sell. So, you know, the question becomes, how much is that worth to you?
Right. And here's a better example, I guess. Hideki Matsuyama is about 16-1 right now. There's on Prop Swap right now, you can buy a ticket for him to win almost $1,700 for $100, right? And he's even par. He's four strokes off the lead. If he tees off today and so much as birdies the first hole and the seller hasn't adjusted the price, I'll jump on there and buy the ticket right now. Now he's only three strokes off the lead and you're getting great value on that ticket.
Yes.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
Correct. Yeah, if you react quicker than the seller, then the deal's done. That's a great strategy. And, you know, that's certainly, I would encourage people to use the app. And obviously check the website. It's quick. You know, have money in your account so that, you know, you don't have to go through the deposit process when you're trying to buy something. Or just keep $200 in there. If you want to withdraw it next week, of course, there's no fee for that. And then you can, you know, jump on it if Hideki birdies.
Are you guys, when I signed up for PropSwap, I don't know, however many weeks ago, when you and I first started talking, I'm like, oh, this sounds like fun. I guess it was during PGA Championship. That's when I first signed up. You guys were doing a match. Are you still doing any kind of a match right now, like a bonus? Yeah, okay. What is it?
Yeah, still doing a match. If you're a first-time user, we'll match $100. So if you deposit $100, we'll give you another $100. So you'd end up with $200 in your account.
Beautiful. All right. So, again, Luke Pergandy from PropSwap. All right. There are other sports going on right now. You mentioned, yes, the Stanley Cup final and NBA conference finals going on right now. You get a good deal on a Celtics ticket right now, I imagine?
Yeah, that's worth a ham sandwich right now. The pushback we get with PropSwap is like, well, you guys only really deal with long shots. And it's like there is literally a long shot that happened every single sport, every single season. The two of four teams remaining, the Miami Heat were 250-1 odds last June, and the Denver Nuggets, obviously they got spanked last night, but still, you know, it still could be a series. They were 250-1 odds a week ago.
Oh.
You know, I mean, that's if you could buy and sell these teams. You know, the Nuggets, before they got worked in game one, their odds were down to 8-1. So if you got them at 250-1 a week ago, and then you can sell it 8-1, you know, we're talking a 20x profit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, serious cash.
Yeah, and I imagine like some of these people that, you know, are standing to – It almost has to be a fan sometimes with some of these teams, like someone taking the Stars early on or something, you know, to win like the cup final. But they stand to make like decent money right now, not just from holding on to their ticket, but by selling their ticket. This is, you know, as a fan, if you buy a ticket early on, you put it up on PropSwap now, especially if they go up a game or two in the cup final. Boom. It's like guaranteed money.
Yeah. Before PropSwap existed, if you had a Dallas Stars ticket, you got, you know, $100 at 40-1 odds, it collects $4,000. That would sell for like $1,500 right now. And what you should be doing is betting on the Tampa Bay Lightning to lock in some profit. But to profit $1,500, which is what it would sell for in PropSwap right now, you'd need to put up like $2,500 on the Tampa Bay Lightning, because they're such a large favorite. They're like minus 170 is Tampa Bay. And a lot of recreational gamblers, like, they don't have $3,000 just sitting around in cash to bet on, you know, Tampa Bay. And maybe they were in Vegas or they're in New Jersey, a legal state, and now they don't have a legal option back in New England. They don't even have the ability to bet on Tampa. So, you know, your options are sell your ticket, sell your Stars ticket on PropSwap, or, you know, borrow money from your uncle, which we even see on Twitter. People are like, oh no, Bank of America will lend you the money. I'm like, Bank of America is not lending you money to make a sports wager. Like, I assure you.
Yeah, absolutely. Walk into your bank and say, here's my business plan. It's a sports bet.
They're not doing that. Certainly not during these times.
Dude, they're not going to lose. Trust me. I sweat. No, I guarantee I'll pay you back because I guarantee they're going to win.
Right.
No, don't do that. Don't extend yourself. I feel like we should have like that disclaimer. If you have a gambling problem, no, we don't have to do it in these circumstances. But how about this? Bet and play responsibly on PropSwap. There, I think we've covered our asses there.
Yeah, always.
Hey, Luke, I don't know what you root for. I mean, if you were like a typical book, you're rooting for, you know, something that, you know, fall one way or the other, you know, to, you know, with regard to the handle. But for you, I guess at PropSwap, you're just betting for, you're just hoping for some movement and some action on the site. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We don't have any risk. You know, we do not care who wins or loses. We just make money on volume. Don't have any risk depending on if Reed or, you know, Dustin Johnson wins or Bryson. So yeah, we, you know, to your point, we want volatility. We want the odds to go up and down, because that's when people buy and sell, is when the odds go up and down. So you know, Patrick Reed was 40-1 on Thursday.
Wow.
So he is now +430. So $100 would sell for around $1,000. If you bet $100 at 40-1, it would now sell for around $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, man, I we're rooting for the same thing. Some volatility, some real moving on moving day at Winged Foot. It'll make for a better time and a more entertaining afternoon, especially if you're on PropSwap. PropSwap.com, Luke Pergandy from PropSwap. Always good to talk to you, buddy. We're done with the golf show for the season, but I think you and I are going to still talk every week just about other bets going down in sports. So we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, let's hope the Celtics can make a run back, but Miami sure looks near invincible right now. Jimmy Butler is playing out of his mind.
Well, I don't want to say, you know, mathematically, tonight is not a must win. You know, they don't have to.
It's just pretty darn close.
It's pretty close. They got to win tonight. All right, we'll see what happens. All right, Luke, good talking to you again, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Artie. Bye.
All right. We'll step aside. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the final Sports Hub Golf Club of the Year on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to The Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club to wrap things up. We're done. That's it. Done for the season. Had a great weekend of golf ahead of us at Winged Foot. Patrick Reed, your leader at 4 under par. Bryson DeChambeau, 1 stroke off the lead. That will be your final pairing today as they go off after 2 p.m. at Winged Foot. And a lot of players close enough to make a real run at things on moving day, Saturday, third round of a major championship, including Justin Thomas, who's 2 strokes off the lead. Xander Schauffele at even par. Matthew Wolf, Hideki Matsuyama. And then a handful of players, which normally I would say, not really in it. It's 7 strokes off the lead or less. But Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, these guys can absolutely still make a tournament out of this, because we have seen some big numbers at Winged Foot. I mean, some of the players I just mentioned were responsible for 73, 74 from Matthew Wolf yesterday on the golf course. A lot of big numbers out there. We didn't get to the guys who missed the cut, but among them, I guess most notably, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson weren't able to get around and make the cut at 6 over par, 6 over par, the cut line for Winged Foot this weekend. So they are among all of the great players who are not going to be playing this weekend. Tommy Fleetwood, that's surprising. Colin Morikawa missing the cut after going out and shooting a 76 in the opening round. He actually improved on his score on Friday and shot a 71, but he ended up missing the cut as well. Matt Kuchar, Jimmy Walker, none of these guys playing this weekend. So rough as expected there at Winged Foot, but it'll make for some great viewing this weekend. Thanks to everybody who is on the show with me this season, and Tucker Silva, who is for the most part the producer all season long. Great job, Tucker. Appreciate you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Yeah, very good. Joe Murray coming up next, and, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be back for another season of the Sports Hub Golf Club next spring, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.